You're listening to Inward with Rabbi Joey Rosenfeld on the OR Podcast Network. Join Rabbi Joey as he guides us through the world and major works of Kabbalah, Hasidic masters, and Jewish philosophy, shedding light on the inner life of the soul.
Okay, so Bezras Hashem, we're continuing with where we're at in the Maisa Mebi Tachon. And we'll just read a few pages to try and read a few lines to try and understand a little bit more of what this potent medicine that Rabbi Nachman gave us in everything, but in particular for me at this present moment in the Maisa Mebi Tachon. But before we go further, we'll just go back just to contextualize the Maisa. So we have this king who's trying to figure out if there's anybody who worries less than he does. And he finds this silent Jew in a broken down house and he asks him what he does. And this Jew explains that he can't make anything whole, but he fixes broken things. And he has the capacity to fix that which is broken. Then the king comes in and he enjoys a suda with wine and vessels. And everything was a very deep experience. The next morning, the king comes along and he says, I'm going to ruin this for him. A kalkelozos. And we said to end last week's shiur, or 2 weeks ago, the third part of the Maisa. So we said that the king was not saying this capricious, you know, Kafka-esque desire to destroy in an Eov type of way, not Eov, but a chitzonius of Eov type of way. And we said that Pasha Pshat is really that the king said, okay, you have the capacity to fix broken things, to be metakein all of the kilkulim. So he says, akalkelozos, let me ruin this for him so that he can actually try and understand how deep his strength actually is. The king is not, God forbid, the king, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, before the Tzimtzum, after the Tzimtzum, that king who's trying to see if there's any human being who can really understand bitachon and worry, absolutely zero in this world. So the king wants to see this koach manifest. The king wants to see this Jew, this Ish Pashut, this Tzaddik, all of us, to truly understand what it means to be able to say that we have the power to be metakin kilkulim, to fix the broken things, to fix that which is broken. And as of late, recently, I've been associating this language of tikkun and kilkul to what Rabbi Nachman says at the end of the first volume of Likutei Maharan, that imatam amin sheyicholim lekalkel, ta amin sheyicholim letaken. If you believe that you have the power to destroy something, again, kilkul, this language of kilkul, then ta amin sheyicholim letaken, then believe that you have the power to rectify it. So these two exact languages, it's not simple that this ish pashut, the fixer, says, I can fix things. That's a koyach gavoa. And the king says, ah, okay, so there's a person in this world who understands the capacity to fix broken things. So let's see how far he can apply his koach, because right now he's applying his koach on one level. But there are many levels for a person to be able to express their kolchos. And yes, it's a chiddush, it's a novelty for this person to fix broken things in this world of just caring about one day and eating one meal and coming back and being besimcha rabba. But what happens when you lose your ability to find the easy street, to find that pathway where things flow? What happens when you fall away from this easy capacity to fix broken things? You can apply it there also, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings nisyonos, brings menios, not to, God forbid, destroy the fixer's world, but to allow the fixer to express his true essence in a deeper and deeper way. Does that make sense? Meaning the koyach is there, this koyach of l'takein etakil kulim, to fix those things which are broken. And we know what we mean when we say that. It's from Aleph to Tav, from A to Z, to fix those broken things, whether it's the brokenness in a Torahdika level or whether it's the brokenness each and every person according to the nekuda of their own heart and their own homes. Whatever that notion of kilkulim is, We have the koyach to be metaking it. And so the melech says, okay, so let's see what happens when we push back a little bit. Let's see what happens when we set preventions in front of your capacity to fix broken things the way you're used to. And let's see how much power you can truly reveal from within yourself. This is the element of menios. Rabbi Nachman says very often, and Rabbi Nassan echoes this over and over and over, that the menia is there lahagdil asacheshek. That the reason that preventions appear upon the path of spiritual functioning, upon living life, is not, God forbid, to destroy our flow state. It's not, God forbid, to destroy the calmness and the sweetness that we feel when we feel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in our lives, when we feel we can fix all broken things. The mania is there to force us to move within ourselves and uncover even more. To retreat back into the self in the face of the loss of what I originally thought I could do, in order to reveal that I can truly do it in a deeper and more intense way. And the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does this is that there are gradations, there are levels in which a person experiences life through which HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. So we have to do a hakdama here a little bit. And as much as I want to, you know, just dive directly into the story, I can lose myself in it very much. And again, Bezras Hashem, I'm getting very close to finishing it's about an 180 page perush on this maisa in Hebrew. It's based on Ravitcher Meyer's Mahalach and everything I've taken from it, but it's very much my own understanding. And it's going to be printed with Tikkun Klali in the back, and it's going to be some Bezras Hashem. It's called Srok Di Yitzchak on Maisa Maybe Tachon. So we'll have a time to go over everything. But we have to take a pause to make a hakdama for what's about to happen. So something remarkable about this maisa is that when you're medayik in the words, you see explicitly that Rabbi Nachman is laying out not only the most powerful psychological narrative, but also kind of the map of Hishtalshlus and the depths of Kabbalah, according to the Rashash, v'chule v'chule. And according to the Or of the Rashash. But what happens is as follows. The king finds this Jew, first and foremost, in a situation of fixing broken things. What we're going to see as the story progresses is that as a result of the king's implementation of preventions in order to reveal the true power and koach of this yid in the face of darkness and difficulty, the king is going to bring about three different scenarios. At first, the person is going to find the ability to get his meal by cutting down trees. Then that's going to have to stop because the king saw that it was good. Then this person is going to have to clean stables in order to fix broken things and get his meal. And then the king hears about that and stops. And then finally, this individual, this fixer, gives himself over as a soldier, which is where the whole fixing broken things of the wooden sword takes place. Those four levels, right? The fixing broken things regularly, cutting down trees, cleaning stables, and being a soldier correspond to the four worlds that HaKadosh Baruch Hu utilizes to create the sum total of what we call reality. Atzilus, Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya. There are four worlds. There's five. Anytime we ever talk about the language of four in Panimiya Satorah and Kabbalah, it's always five. Four is always five. Five's included in four, but first you have to understand four. And then only when you understand four in its totality can you then come to understand how five has always been part of four. There's a maisa brought down by the Bnei Yisachar in Derech, not Derech Pekudecha, Igra de Pirka, an amazing, amazing sefer of Matil Zilber Shlita gave shirim on them. And there's a maisa that some tzaddik, I forget who, a tzaddik of the Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov, was sitting in Tish, and he demanded of one of his closest students, who was a tzaddik in his own right, to go get some sort of honey beer, I think, some sort of mashke for the gathering. And the guy says, I don't have money. So the Rebbe gives him four group, you know, whatever, coins. And, or tells the Gabbai to get four coins. And he goes to try and get the mead. And it's five coins. It costs five coins. And this person tries to find and beg for another coin. He can't until finally he returns back to the tzaddik and says, you know, I couldn't afford the mashke. You gave me four coins and they asked for five. And what the tzaddik responded is that the ikker of what it means to be a Jew is to understand how to turn four into five. So yes, there's five worlds, but for now, for our purposes, we're going to talk about the four worlds, Tzilus, Bri, Yitzir, and Asiya, because it's only the sum total of those four worlds which give us the fifth world, which is the world of Adam Kadmon, which we're going to see is the purpose of this story. So there are these four worlds. Without going into what the Zohar has to say or what the Arizal has to say, Rav Dessler, Schusia Ganaleinu, explains very clearly that these four worlds are four ways of looking at reality in one's life. Yes, they most certainly and absolutely represent ontological real realities that are present in the very fabric of reality. But as we understand from our tzaddikim, both living and dead, is that to be masig these inyanim on any real type of hasaga level of what the Arizal actually meant is a ridiculous notion, and all we have is what the Arizal told us. And so yes, it exists, but it all exists by way of metzias she'ena b'metzias. It's a metzias, but it's not a metzias that we have any grasp of. But psychologically and internally, what the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh teaches us is that those four worlds operate within us as well. And yes, we might not be able to touch the four worlds that exist outside of us, but we can most certainly touch our own four worlds. And the miracle is that when a person encounters their own most private four worlds that live within their heart, they're memela touching the four general worlds of reality that exist outside of a person. Like the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh says that ha-toifis chelek min ha-etzem toifis tza-etzem kulo, that someone who grasps a slight part of the whole in truth grabs the entirety of the whole, because as the Rebbe Rashab writes, the part and the whole are ultimately indistinguishable, because even the part is a whole. Even the four worlds within ourselves gives us direct access by way of the impossibility of faith, raza de meyamnusa, to touch those four worlds outside of us. But Bekitzer, for us, for Dessler, for the Tzaddikim, those four worlds represent ways of looking, ways of experiencing life, ways of contemplating reality, ways of being mitmodeid, of being present in one's life. Now, generally, these four worlds are split into two categories. There's the world of Atzilus, and then there's the three separate worlds of Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya. So while there are a subset of four worlds, in truth, it's really broken up into two general categories. There's the world of Atzilus, which is the first world. And then there's these three worlds, which combined represents the worlds of Pirud, the worlds of separation. And so because Atzilus and Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya represent two separate categories of reality and how we look at reality, so Atzilus will have to be understood in itself, and Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya will be understood on themselves. And yes, while they might operate differently, the halachos of Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya are the same. They're like stamps upon one another, just imprinting a message, although less clearly it's the same identical message. The world of Atzilus is a different stamp altogether, at least b'chitzonius. It's a different stamp. There's a parsa, there's a separation between Atzilus and Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya. So the world of Atzilus, which again in our story would be when this fixer is just fixing broken things, there's no context to it, he just finds whatever he needs immediately in front of him, no need for bitachon, just things are absolutely clear. So that's going to represent the world of Atzilus. The world of Atzilus is a world of unity. It's a world of calmness. It's a world of an impossible unity that is so far beyond our capacity to comprehend, yet nevertheless, we know that we can't comprehend it, so we have a relationship with the world of Atzilus. But the world of Atzilus is a world of a unity between the inner and the outer. It's a place where my inner motivations, my own most Ratzon, my yechida, my recognition at the deepest part of myself that we have absolutely nothing of our own in this world and everything is HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Ein Oid Milvado and Soiviv Kol Almin. and there's absolutely nothing but HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the sense of Atzilus. And yes, we know that that's a level of thinking, but we very rarely have access to it. Perhaps we have memories or we have moments of it, but those moments end over and over, and it's very difficult to be masig, to grasp the world of Atzilus. And then the worlds of Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiya, which represent the worlds of separation, Bria is going to be a little bit more difficult. Things are still clear. There's more good than bad. The good totally outweighs the bad. The bittul, the self-nullification, the openness towards Amuna certainly outweighs the tendency towards self-interest and self-consciousness and egoisms and fears and anxieties and character defects, et cetera, et cetera. But they're so small in relationship to the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that place that they're not even considered a reality unto themselves. It's such the emergence of the potential of differentiation. It's the beginning of, wait a second, everything is not completely clear here. But still, things are very clear. But I'm beginning to be aware that there's perhaps duality, perhaps a way of thinking about the world differently than just self-nullification and emunah and calmness. And then the world of Yetzirah is just a little bit more distorted. It's no longer majority good and clarity and the minority is darkness and concealment. Here in the world of Yetzirah, which is the second of the worlds of separation, but the third world in total, it's half-half. The darkness and the light are now already kind of on equal playing fields. It's already a world of Eitz Hadas Tov V'ra, of the tree of knowledge, good and evil. There's contrasts, but still, it's a world of interiority. It's a world of Torah. It's the world of being mekusher to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yes, I'm aware I'm separate. I'm aware that I'm a person with anxieties, but I believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu most of the time. I'm connected. And then there's the world of Asiya. And the world of Asiya is now the final opposite, right? The world of Asiya is mainly bad and minimally good. In this world of Asiya, it's almost impossible to remember that the overwhelming reality of all things is goodness, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is present in every element of reality. In the world of Asiya, the darkness is thicker. In the world of Asiya, a person feels destitution. They feel abandoned very often in their lives by themselves, by their loved ones, by their imaginations. Obviously, it's not true in the way we think it's true. But in the world of Asiya, it's a world of anxiety. It's a world of impoverishment. It's a world of malchus. It's a world of a susceptibility to death and death awareness. And it's a world of an awareness of individuality. And it's also the most, as we're going to see, the most powerful, potent expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's light in possibility. But the world of Asiya is a world of nighttime, a world of Torah Shebaal Peh, of echoes, of tefillah, of prayer that emerges from a sense of lack within the self, tefillah li'ani ki'atov, that the prayer of the destitute individual will be accepted. The Zohar HaKadosh says that's the strongest prayer. The world of Asiya is a world of darkness. And agav, and not agav, in our lives, as the tzaddikim tell us over and over again, the Baal HaTanya points this out explicitly in the 36th chapter of Tanya, but this is obviously something inherently true anytime we talk about the world of Asiya. Where we are is not only the world of Asiya, but it's like the Asiya of Asiya. It's the lowest possible iteration of Asiya. It's like the last stop before like the train goes into like nowhere. You know, it's like the last possible place that we can even possibly manage to find the residual lights of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give ourselves over just to grab a piece of faith. The Asiya Sheba Asiya, the Tachtis of the Tachtis, that's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to manifest. So these four worlds, these four jobs that the fixer is going to experience are going to correspond to those four worlds. So like we saw, the fixer in that world of just fixing broken things where everything was clear, that was the world of Atzilus. There was no need, anything. It was like man. He was eating man. Anywhere he looked, he found his job. He just found broken things to fix. He didn't have to worry about anything. He knew he would have his suda. He knew he had no worries in the world. And it was davar yom biyomo, and he had it good. That was the world of Atzilus. He was able to fix broken things. And the reason the world of Atzilus is still called broken things is because it's still underneath Adam Kadmon. The world of Atzilus is only so profoundly unified vis-a-vis our conception, but in truth, there's something even above it and above it and above it. So even the world of Atzilus has to be referred to as Devarim Mikulkalim, but nevertheless, he lives in a space of man. Now, when the king says, I'm going to break it for him, he falls down into a world of Bria. This is a world where, again, it's very clear to him, he's still holding on to the deep awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in everything, to his ability to just smoothly walk through life and find what he needs. But there's a growing sentiment that, oh boy, it is nowhere nearly as easy as I thought it was going to be. It's nowhere easy as I thought it was going to be. There's concealment, there's shadows, v'chule. So Baboker Halach, after the king had gone back to his palace and decided to aser people from offering their broken things to be fixed, Baboker Halach Lishol Achar Tikunei Advarim, he went to find his old avoda of the world of Atzilus, where things were easy. Didn't you hear the king decreed that we can't give anybody anything to fix? As we saw, either a person has to fix it themselves or buy something anew. And again, each and every one of these words, I promise you, contains sugyos upon sugyos upon sugyos of gufei Torah. Rak yitakin ba'atzmo yikna dvar zachadasha. Either a person has to fix it themselves or buy it new. I'm sorry. Baboker halach lishol achar tikunei advarim va'amru lo shagazar melech shalitein lishon adam takin shem davar. The king said you can't offer broken things. V'yira be'enav ach batach b'Hashem. It was ra in his eyes. There was something negative in his eyes. But nevertheless, he trusted in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ach batach b'Hashem. So what's most interesting to me about this is called Maisa Mebitachon, a tale of trust. And depending on the type of, pipeline you're drawing from, they all come from the same place, but there's two ways, many colors. Each person has their own color of being Masig, the Torah of Rabbi Nachman. But there's different flavors. One is much more of an Eretz Yisraeldika flavor in the greatest type of way, which sees Rabbi Nachman Mamish as saying everything we really think he's saying. It's obvious that he's saying it, but there's times where you see it in Rabbi Nachman, where it's like, Mamish clear, yeah, Rabbi Nachman was radically speaking directly to our generation with all of our, illusions and all of our skepticism. There are other times where you're like, no, Rabbi Nachman is talking in the language of other tzaddikim. And, you can still interpret from within that the message of Rabbi Nachman. So there's two versions. There's two kitvei yad of Ma'aseh Mebitachon. This becomes very clear, obviously, in one of the most significant svarim is Sipurei Maisios Meshanim Kadmonios, the Sipurim Maisim Shal Rabbi Nachman, put out by Svi Mark, Rav Svi Mark. Svi Mark is a professor of sorts I forget exactly where, but he is the answer to anything anybody has said from an academic perspective about Rabbi Nachman before him. He is the final word, my humble opinion and the opinion of tzaddikim. He's the final word, and he kind of redeems everything that others may have said that were true, not true, insignificant. They don't say anything that you can't find in the writings, that's for sure. Everything is found in the writings. You can find it directly in Rabbi Nachman, but Svi Mark, Rav Svi Mark, whose brothers was Rav Miki Mark Hashem Yom Kom Domo, who was a Rav in Otniel, and he's known by the tzaddikim. The tzaddikim, he has a very healthy relationship and a powerful relationship, it seems, with Ziknei Breslov. So he had access to a lot of kitvei yad, and there was a lot of internal censorship. It was Maharash's Yartzeit, I believe, yesterday, Rav Shik's Yartzeit yesterday, the tzaddik from Yavniel. And one of his pu'ulos, one of Rav Shik's pu'ulos, was to really make a decision, a hachlata, a historic hachlata, that all of those writings from Breslov that had been censored, historically speaking, for whatever reason, it was time to reveal. And that's where we find secrets about the Tikkun Klali and the story of the armor, which is associated with the Tikkun Klali, and the story of the bread, which is associated with, the fires of Shavuos and Breslov. Incredible, incredible things. Things about Mashiach. And so Svi Mark compiles all of the Sipurim. It's a beautiful royal purple sefer. It's mamish a malchus dika sefer. All of Sipurim Maisios, and I know I'm going on a tangent, are an Inyan and Malchus. I think it's the world of Malchus where it's an attempt to be a melech and you lose Malchus and it's a world of destitution. That's why it's kedai that the sefer of Sipurim Maisios is a purple sefer. You know, it's a, like an argamon. It's a beautiful color. But there's two kitveyad of this story. And in one ksavyad of this story, the person, this fixer, goes out to see what he can fix. And he hears that there's this decree. And it says, V'yira ba'anav ach batach b'Hashem. It was bad in his eyes, but he had trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In another version of the ksavyad, it doesn't say ach batach b'Hashem. It just says v'hira be'enav. It just says that that it was bad in his eyes. And I think it's pashat that both girsaos are representative of the true secret of bitachon and the maisa, that the bitachon itself that this tzaddik is going to find for us, specifically when he falls away from what was working beforehand, is the secret of ach batach b'Hashem and not ach batach b'Hashem. Sometimes it says batach b'Hashem, I have bitachon in Hashem, and sometimes it doesn't say I have bitachon in Hashem. Very much like the Torah Kadosh and the Tzadikim and Chazal said about Noach, that mekatne amuna haya, that he was one of those with little faith. And there's a machlokas about what it means to have little faith. Is little descriptive of the form of faith, or is little just the quantitative measure of his faith? Was it a little bit of a known faith? Or was it the qualitatively different faith known as mekatne amuna? And Chazal described that it's ma'amin ve'eno ma'amin, that he believes and he doesn't believe. And that's the inyan of mekatne amuna. And that inyan of if he believes and he doesn't believe, that's not a chiz saro necessarily in amuna. That's a certain metzius in amuna. That the metzius of amuna is that a person can never quite literally stay there at every moment. You have to descend away from amuna for a second into a place of not knowing in order to renew your amuna at the next moment. Chadashim rabim, chadashim lebekarim rabba amunasecha. Every moment is a new opportunity to find more amuna. It's not chas v'shalom falling away from amuna, but it's moving from one amuna to another amuna to another amuna. And so it has to be ma'amin ve'eno ma'amin. It has to be ach batach b'Hashem and not ach batach b'Hashem. It's ratzo v'shov b'vas achas. The secret of the bitachon that emerges in this story of how we confront difficulty is that on the one hand, it says we have faith. On the other hand, it says we don't have faith. And a person sees themselves as both in one moment or from one moment to the next. We're both a tzaddik and a bal tshuva at the very same moment. And so v'hira be'enav means that maybe the dark is from your eyes. But v'hira be'enav, this person, this Baal Bitachon, v'hira be'enav, he started looking differently at the world. It's not that the circumstances of his external life informed how he felt, but they're beginning to impinge upon how he feels. Prior to, in Olam Ha'atzilus, his vision was good. It was tov roi. He saw only the good. Everything was an opportunity to fix broken things. The first fall into the worlds of separation is v'hira be'enav, that we start looking differently at the world. Now, already here is the secret that nobody messes with you but you, that nobody has the ability to make me feel a certain way other than myself. That's always what it means to be in a world of pirud, because we're always in yichud. The worlds of separation are just the secret of how you experience the sense of separation within absolute unity. A person is never outside of absolute unity. So in the world of Bria, it's still a recognition, v'hira be'enav, the fall is in my eyes. It's a way of looking at the world. Ultimately, tshuva is a way of looking at the world. Yes, there's maisa and all of the practicalities of all of it, right? And from aleph to tav, ish lefi mahalalo, each person according to the conjecture of their own heart. But on a generalized sense, which doesn't negate, but rather emboldens the particular experiences of tshuva, the vision of tshuva is all it is shifting the way I look. It's looking differently. I have to learn how to look differently, because in truth, the whole fall was hira be'enav. It was my eyes. It was my eyes the whole time. It was my way of looking. But in truth, I could have looked differently and seen that this moment is also good. I could have seen with eyes of goodness. I could have seen with eyes of resh pei beis. So the fall away from emunah is always a fall of a vision. It's an inner vision. But if the fall is an inner vision, then the secret is that the rectification is also an inner vision. It's karva el nafshi giyala. If I believe I can break, I have to believe I can fix, because the breaking is just in my mind anyway, and therefore the fixing is also just in my mind. So the hira be'enav, things became darker. He began to be more cynical about the world, or whatever that darkness in our eyes is. Ach batach b'Hashem. But nevertheless, he had bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everyone has a few more minutes, yeah? Anyone could go also, but bitachon, trust, is the crux of this whole story. The Ramban writes in Emunah and Bitachon that Emunah is the Shoresh, that Emunah is the root, faith is the root, and Bitachon is the pre. Or Bitachon is the outgrowth of that root. Meaning to say that you can have Emunah without Bitachon. You can have faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu in something without trusting in that thing. But you can't have Bitachon without Emunah. You can't have trust in something without placing belief in that thing. So Bitachon is different than Emunah. Famously, it's been set up as a machlokas, and on a certain level it is a machlokas, but the Rebbe, Rav Itchemeyer, and really other tzaddikim as well, Rav Shlomo Fisher, Slusi Yogan Alinu, has a ha'ara of this in Drashos Beis Yishai, but there's a machlokas, or an imagined machlokas, which is real and not real at the same time, between the Chazon Ish and what is B'derach Klal referred to as the Shita of the Chassidim. And in truth, I think, I haven't seen it, but I think it's also a direct reaction to the altar of Nevardak in Madrega Sa'adim, which has been pointed out, but it's not necessarily, the Baal Shem Tov has a real sheet in Bitachon, but there's no place where it's really spelled out fully. But what the Chazon Ish says, and this is in line with the Chovos HaLevavos and Shar HaBitachon, that Bitachon is not the trust or the assumption that things are going to be my way, that what I want is what's going to happen. Bitachon is the recognition that everything that happens is directly the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, directly emerging from or in Sof Kavyachol, the Atzmus Kavyachol of the Boira, the loftiest possible imaginable place that we can ever conceive of when it comes to thinking about my God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But on this level of Bitachon, Tov and Ra, good and bad, negative and positive, those are human categorizations. So the fact that it directly emerges from the infinite source of all things, from that Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, doesn't necessarily translate into the fact that we're going to feel a real relief in our lives as a result of this form of Bitachon. That's the Shita of the Chazon Ish in Emunah and Bitachon in some of the most beautiful Lashonos, as well as implicit in certain elements of the Chovos HaLevavos in Shaar Bitachon. Does that sad make sense? Yeah? And the Shita of the Chassidim, which is a Vada, the Shita of the Baal Shem Tov, but also it seems to be the Shita, I believe, of the altar of Nevardak, is that Bitachon means, mamish, that it's going to be good the way I want it to be good. That my desired outcome is going to happen. that it's going to be, and obviously with all of the prerequisites of lishma and really wanting, but no, it's bitachon is a real tekifus. It's a strength and a stubborn trust in the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to fulfill my desires. If I make my desires like HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to fulfill my desires. So it's set up as this machlokas almost, that on the one hand, there's a shita that bitachon is more of an acceptance that everything is from God on a certain level, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and living with that awareness. And there's another tzad that seems to say that bitachon is the recognition and the strength and the utter trust and belief that what I want is going to happen. Now, in terms of the shita and chasidus, it's all the shoresh of bitachon in the Zohar HaKadosh is in Parshas Vayera, and the Atarasi of Zidichov and the Tzemach Tzedek and the Admor Hazakein have long birim on it and perushim on it. But Rav Itchmeyer points out in numerous places, in particular in De'ei Chochma L'Nafshecha Shal Shudis Rasha, from Parshas Vayetze Tavshin Ayin Gimel, so I believe that was 2004, that the Indian of Bitachon, and it's printed in Yam HaChachma Tavshin Ayin Dalet in the Biurim on Sipur Maisios, that the Indian of Bitachon is the ability to believe, to have emunah so deeply, that in this moment I mamish feel as if there's nothing to ask for. As if it's a moment of yichud. It's the hargasha of tasting the future in the present. It's still a matziv of bitachon where I have to be aware I don't know anymore. I don't know if things are going to turn out the way I want them to. If they're not, I'm stuck in a world of suffix. But bitachon is the capacity to draw the certainty of the future, not the next moment future, but the future, Mashiach. Right? Then what the Rambam says, that bevadei everybody will do tshuva. And the future, the ultimate future, and whatever manifestation of futurity it represents, the coming of Mashiach and the hiskalus of Moshe Mashiach and the hiskalus of Torah of Atika Stima'a and the removal from exile and all of its manifestations. We know that that's going to happen. Intuitively, we know that. We've tried hard enough to forget about that. Bitachon is the capacity to taste that future vadaut in the sveikos of the present moment. Bitachon is the capacity to believe in something so deeply, to have faith in something so deeply, to have emunah so deeply that I feel it bechush right now, that I can live in this moment as if everything is good. And memela, it becomes good. Bitchu b'Hashem ad de'ad. It goes all the way up. Bitachon is a koyach, b'pnimiyas hanefesh, that draws forth from a future perfection on whatever level the word perfection means anything, and forces it and drags it and melts it just enough so that it could congeal and melt into our world, a sense of perfect calmness within the chaotic struggle. That's bitachon. It's a hamshacha of the future into the present. And what the Rebbe points out is that this is the inyan of Shir HaShirim. This is the inyan of Shir HaShirim, which a person says on Erev Shabbos, the most difficult time of the week, but the closest to the world of Shabbos. And when you look at Rashi, the first Rashi on Shir HaShirim, it describes that Shlomo HaMelech was saying Shir HaShirim, singing love songs based on a future knowledge of what is going to be. And so the song of Shir HaShirim itself is, yes, it's a song of longing anticipation, but it's a longing and anticipation that is satisfied in itself and comfortable in itself because it knows with certainty that the future will be revealed, and that way we taste it in the present. And there are other Meforshim who point out that it's like the tsar, the scream of a Yoledes on the Mishbar, the moment of birth. The moment of birthing is that scream that is both a calmness a calmness at the heart of insanity. The most dangerous moment. Katnus shebekatnus, like Chazal and the Zohar HaKadosh tell us by Kriyas Yamsuf, which is the sod of Leda, of being born. It's what the Arizal refers to as a yichud of katnus. That in that place, there's a tzapia and a foreknowledge, a taste of that which is going to be revealed in the future. And that's what bitachon is. Bitachon is drawing down the calmness of chachma into the toil of bina. And what Rav Itchemeyer does, kedarcha b'kodesh, and I believe what all the tzaddikim are saying implicitly when you look at each and every sefer, but so bitachon we see is kind of both and. It's both the shita of the Chazon Ish, the shita of the Chovas HaLevavos, as well as the shita of the Chassidim. That be'emes, the awareness that everything is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whether or not it's what I wanted, is in and of itself the greatest imaginable good that a person can conceive of. It comes from Hashem. It's from Hashem. I'm with Hashem. Zehu. Like Rabbi Nachman says that when I'm suffering on whatever level I'm suffering, at least I can think about the fact that, you know, my suffering is Hashem whispering his suffering, so to speak, into my ear. And then I become incredibly excited by the notion that, wow, look at me, this lowly person who the king feels I'm important enough to let me know about his suffering, so to speak. So when we are aware that it's Ratzon Hashem, as Mamela, everything is good, whether it's what I wanted or what I didn't want. I realize that good, bad, you know, what I want, what I don't want, it's all one and the same. And that's a taste of the future and the present. We live in a world of Tov and Ra. We live in a world of Baruch HaTov HaMeitiv and Dayan Emes. We live in a world of Chayim and Mavis. But through bitachon, we're able to say it's all the same. And as Mamela, the two shitos and bitachon are the same. If it's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's exactly what I truly want. It's exactly what I want in the innermost core of myself. And as Mamela, that's the darga of bitachon. And we're going to see that this nekuda of bitachon grows as it gets more difficult. Because the darker it is, and the more difficult it is, and the more concealed it is to see how in the world you can draw HaKadosh Baruch Hu's light into your life in this moment, the more radically profound and impossibly beautiful the koach of bitachon becomes, because it's in relationship to the darkness that I have the capacity to know, remind myself that in this pain I can draw the future. I can have that bitachon of bitchu b'Hashem adei ad. Like the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh says, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not ma'anish a person until he takes away their bitachon. And what the Baal Shem Tov says is that that's because with bitachon there is no onesh. With bitachon there is no onesh. Bitachon is the secret of bitchu b'Hashem adei ad, the limits, the manios, and the more we descend into it, we're going to see that the fixer's bitachon grows, and we learn the radical secret, not the radical secret, but the pashut pshat of Pnimiyus HaTorah very often, which is that it's Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu Liyaros Lo B'dir B'tachtonim. Hashem does not just want to be revealed in Atzilus. Hashem wants to be revealed in the lowest place imaginable, Be'ezras Hashem. And so we'll continue next week.
You've been listening to Inward with Rabbi Joey Rosenfeld on the OR Podcast Network. Inward was created by Rabbi Zach Kamenetz and is produced by Zev Gavriel. The music is by Zusha. You can help support the production of this podcast by visiting us online at orpodcasts.com.